Welcome to the Rise Priestess podcast, a place for women just like you who are in the process of claiming their callings, rising into priestesshood, and building a legacy. This is where values-driven women come to learn how to unleash their gifts and share them unapologetically with the world to unlock deep contribution and potent prosperity. I'm your host, Dr. Sarah Coxon. I'm an author, yoga teacher, activist, and business mentor. I bridge together feminine-inspired leadership and divine masculine action that quantum leaps you into an expansive experience of life and business. I believe that business is a vehicle for not only living a more purposeful and free life, but for also contributing to social and ecological healing. I live in a coastal town in Portugal and have been channeling my inner priestesshood into various heart-centered businesses since 2016. Back then, I left my life as an archaeologist to play my part in the reawakening of the feminine. Although I now run a successful mission-driven business, it's been quite the journey. I've had to move past imposter syndrome, own my gifts, make friends with money, step into feminine leadership, dismantle toxic conditioning, and learn ethical marketing practices. I'm here to help you on your journey to living life and doing business on your terms. From guest interviews to solo heart riffs to laser coaching sessions, this podcast is here to inspire you to reclaim the feminine, live your Dharma, and get paid for being you. So sit back, take a deep breath, sister, and let's dive into today's episode. Hello, gorgeous priestesses, and welcome back to the podcast. Or perhaps you're new here, in which case I want to warmly welcome you. It's so nice to have you in this space. And if you are listening regularly, then welcome back. I appreciate you so much. I love when you guys are sharing on your Instagram stories and you're sharing your biggest insights with me in my DMs or emailing me. It's amazing to see the ripple effects of this podcast, and I am so grateful for you guys. And I'm really excited to share with you this week's episode. In this episode, I share a conversation I had with one of my mentors, award-winning life and business coach, Emma Mumford. Now, Emma has actually been helping me. She's been coaching me through the process of publishing my book, The Way of the Priestess, A Reclamation of Feminine Power and Divine Purpose. And although writing the book was really easy, it just kind of flowed through me. The process of publishing it and actually putting it out there has been a real growth edge for me, and is a growth edge because it's still not available, but it will be very, very soon, more details soon, because I share so much of my truth there. And it's a growth edge because, of course, I'm scared of judgment, I'm scared of rejection, I'm scared of the consequences of my truth. And Emma has been helping me work through that, move past that, and really own my personal power when it comes to giving birth to this entity. Emma's absolutely amazing. And in this podcast, we talk all about wealth and money mindset. Emma is an expert in that, and she's been really helping me with these aspects in my own life. Now, before we begin, if this podcast is having an impact upon your life, then the best way you can help me and pay it forward is actually by subscribing and leaving a review. What this does is it helps more women such as yourself come across it and get the guidance they deserve. And if you think some of your friends or your family should be listening in to certain episodes, then just send the episodes their way. This is a community effort, and it takes a village, and I can't do this alone. And also, before we begin, I just want to let you guys know that this episode is sponsored by my 9-page Embody Your Inner Priestess Guide. This is a completely free guide where I share with you embodied daily practices that will help you to get in touch with your personal power and to also get in touch with your authentic self and reclaim yourself and embody your priestesshood, whatever that looks like for you. So if you want to download it, then you can go to bit.ly/priestessguide, or you can click the link in the show notes and it will take you to a page that will just collect your email address and then I will whiz it over. All right then, so over to the conversation that I had with the wonderful Emma Mumford.
Hello, darling souls, and welcome to another episode. I'm so excited to introduce to you Emma Mumford. Emma Mumford is an award-winning life coach and mentor. She's a best-selling author, speaker, and host of the popular podcast Spiritual Queens Badass Podcast. And she's also my own personal coach, and she's been helping me with the launch of my upcoming book. And I am forever grateful to her because, yeah, she's amazing. So, Emma, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for that, Sarah. I feel so grateful for that intro. No, it's been such a pleasure working with you and obviously hearing all your amazing book ideas and seeing it come to life. Like, honestly, it is a joy to work with you. So the pleasure's mine as well.
Oh, thank you very much. So obviously we're not going to just spend the next half an hour giving each other compliments, but or we can. But really, I mean, you're such an inspiration to me because, well, for many reasons, but your story I find absolutely incredible. And it's almost like you've done such a U-turn in your life. So I'm wondering if that's where we should begin. If you can share with our listeners a little bit about you and your story and how you got to be where you are now.
Of course. Yeah. And it's such a great place to start. And actually, ironically, this week I was having a session myself. Like every now and again, I have a coaching session with one of my really good friends, Cameron. And we were just kind of reflecting on, you know, like the traumas I've healed and like the journey I've been on. I was like, do you know what, Cameron? That's been a lot. And it was really good to almost like release that. So I feel like today, even just sharing my story again, I feel like I've even shifted it even further to be like, do you know what? I'm proud of that. Like that a lot has happened and a lot, you know, over an 8-year period as well, 9-year period. So we'll go back all the way to that. So in 2012, I was in a very different position in my life. I was working as a banking manager in a well-known UK bank, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life, in all honesty. I didn't really have any goals or ambitions. Working in the bank caused me to have depression and anxiety because I just hated putting people in debt. It just didn't feel good. It felt so wrong. And I just loved communicating with people. I loved chatting to all the old dears and making them cups of tea. And my manager hated me for it because he was like, how many loans have you got today? How many credit cards have you sold? And I was like, I've just made them all cups of tea. That's what I've done today. But I did always used to hit my targets, but I always did it from a really aligned place of knowing when someone needs something versus sales and like forcing stuff on people. So that was my job at that point. And I was in the kind of first relationship as such, adult relationship that really transformed my life. And, you know, with the depression that I had, he had some debts from what he said was a previous relationship. Turned out that was rubbish. And I decided to take them on as a responsible banker and took it on in my name. And basically, once I did that, we broke up. It was a mutual decision to break up. And basically, he then didn't pay a single penny off the loan. So then I had £7,000 at the age of 20 to clear. And obviously, I'd had to leave my banking job as well, just because I was so depressed and I just couldn't even get up. And there were moments where I couldn't even leave the house. My anxiety was so bad. And I do put it down to, I guess, the negative relationship I was in, obviously the negative environment at work, then being in debt myself. It all just kind of like spiraled very quickly for me. And, you know, I remember my parents saying, like, we didn't even recognize who you were anymore. And I think that was quite hard to hear years later, because I was like coping. I was trying to get through this sort of thing. And I thought I was doing the best that I could at the time. So that relationship broke down. Like I said, he didn't pay the debt. So then I had to get a part-time job to obviously keep myself afloat, you know, keep pushing through this anxiety and depression. I decided to do some counseling as well, some CBT, which did help a little bit, but nothing would really, you know, clear that anxiety and depression long-term. It was all very, you know, temperamental, and I would feel okay. And then the circumstances would change and it would be there again. So stupidly, I got into another relationship very quickly afterwards. And that again was then the second relationship that transformed my life. So in between these relationship changeovers, basically as I had this debt, I obviously had to clear it. I was working part-time and I decided one day to take up couponing, as you do, after watching Extreme Couponing on TLC. And I saw these, like, you know, amazing people basically get their shops for free and thousands of pounds worth of stuff for free to clear their debts. And I was like, well, if they can do that, surely I can do this. So I went online, had a little look around. No one in the UK was really into couponing. There wasn't tons of stuff out there. So I decided to take it upon myself to, you know, to find these coupons, to find them, where were they? And very quickly I was able to clear a lot of the debt. I had a little stockpile, I had everything. And basically my friends then bullied me into starting up a Facebook page called Extreme Couponing and Deals UK to help other people save money and to clear their debts. And to, you know, everybody loves to save money. And for some people it's a necessity to, you know, try and get food reduced, etc. So it was a scary moment, but I'm glad my friends pushed me to do that, because within 6 months it just kind of snowballed from there. In terms of, it got like 100,000 followers within 6 months. The press then got involved, then got nicknamed the coupon queen in the press. I was presenting on ITV's This Morning. Like, it was crazy how quickly it blew up. And it was amazing to be able to help people from a different way, where I wasn't putting them in debt. I was helping them get out of debt and have, I guess, like a positive relationship with money as well. Definitely from like a muggle perspective at that point. And in terms of like my faith and spirituality, you know, I didn't have any. I very much would say I was an atheist at that point. I was kind of Christian growing up. I kind of believed in God, but I felt at that stage, as I was going through these really dark years of my life and transformational years, that why would a God let this happen to someone? Like, you know, where's God when you need him, sort of thing. So I definitely would have said I was atheist at that point. So moving on then, obviously I was running Extreme Couponing and Deals UK. Obviously, like, my career was massively taking off. I got to do really amazing, awesome things and help people. But my personal life did not look as rosy. So the second relationship broke down. He cheated on me and left me. And I felt like at my lowest at that point. So this was in 2016. And I felt at my lowest because I was depressed, way depressed than what I was in my first relationship. I hated myself. I didn't know how to love myself. And like, on paper, everyone would say, well, Emma, like, your life's amazing. You've got this business. You're earning money, like, everything's great. But in the reality of it was, I was miserable. And that business was probably the only thing that was keeping me alive and keeping me going on a daily basis. It was definitely like a kind of life raft to me as such, to keep me afloat. So in 2016, when that relationship broke down, I had, I guess, a breakdown, a very big breakdown. And I kind of remember thinking, well, I'm either going to have to end my life or change my life. And I knew that I couldn't end my life and that I could do more in this lifetime. And I remember, like, looking out the window at 2 a.m., I think it was, or something ridiculously early, and thinking, God, help me. And I hadn't said the word God in years. And even now I use the universe, source, you know, I'm always someone who's like, use what words really resonate with you. But it was like in that moment, my soul just gave up. And it was just like, or my ego kind of was like, I'm done. Let's get on with the journey. I'm done. So that help came 5 days later in the form of law of attraction. And I started hearing about this law of attraction everywhere. And I was like, ooh, what's this? And I started finding all these like motivational videos, Louise Hay, Tony Robbins. And it was more like a remembering rather than a learning. That's how I always describe it. When I heard about the law of attraction and watched The Secret, I was like, oh yeah, of course this makes sense. Like, yeah, this is so true. Instead of feeling like I was learning something. So very quickly again, this really took off and I really threw myself into it. And within 3 weeks, I was able to cure my anxiety and depression naturally through mindset, through law of attraction, through, you know, everything that I was doing to improve my mindset and my circumstances as well, of removing toxicity from my life. And, you know, I tried tablets, I tried obviously medication, I tried counseling, you name it, I tried it. And I completely understand that that is not everybody's experience and that those things will really work for people. But for me personally, I always feel that I had a spiritual depression where I just wasn't honoring myself and didn't love myself. And it was very circumstantial based upon those relationships I was in. So, you know, within a month, my whole life had really changed around in a really positive way. And I think my family at the time thought I was a bit nuts and was like, what is this law of attraction thing? But she's happy, so we'll just let her be. Like, you know, she's been depressed for years. This is great. And at the same time, I'd kind of started to separate my companies a little bit anyway. I had more of like an Emma YouTube, which was more focused on me and personal things rather than money saving. So I just started bringing the conversation to the table on YouTube and started sharing about the law of attraction and things I'd noticed. And I thought people were going to think, you know, she's gone nuts. Like, you know, she's coupon queen and now she's talking about manifesting. What is she doing? But to my shock, everybody was like, yes, I know about the law of attraction, or they were really interested and tried it with me. And it was really amazing to see the positive response and that kind of transition begin. So over the 2016 to 2018 period, I really worked upon myself. You know, I was manifesting my dream life and was able to manifest love, was able to manifest a house, money, my income tripling, because again, obviously being left with a flat from my lovely ex, which I had to pay, all of a sudden I was like, I'm gonna need some money here, universe. So I was able to manifest so much into my life, which, you know, was incredible and amazing and just made me so happy to be able to say, do you know what, I'm doing it for myself, and that, you know, I can take my power back here as well and step into my own. So in 2018, I decided that I wanted to sell the business, my couponing business, to go full time with my spiritual business, which is Spiritual Queen, or my name is the official title of the company. And I realized that that is what I wanted to do, that the business that had outgrown me, it needed a team of people, and I'd outgrown the business as well. Like, I will always love a bargain and I will always coupon. That is never going to leave me. It's in my DNA. But for me, it was time to say, look, you can help people in a different way now, through coaching, through mindset, all these different things and lessons I've picked up along the way. You can teach that to people in an even more aligned way now. So I sold the business. I managed to manifest the buyer for that as well. And I got what I asked for in terms of money as well, which is incredible. So yeah, that's basically what's got me here. And now today I do, you know, very different things, but money has always been the theme in terms of it stayed with me, in terms of law of attraction, money mindset, and just having a positively wealthy life overall.
Oh my gosh, there's so much in that and it's incredible. And I think that your story mirrors so many other people's stories, and the fact that you had to, it's almost like you had to hit rock bottom a couple of times to almost course correct. And it's always that you've been shown the way, like with the couponing business and then with your spiritual business, it's like the universe always giving you the next step and the next step. And you seem to have this amazing courage to just be able to go with it and take it. Mm. I love that you said that like money has been the theme for you throughout all of this. It's kind of like the red thread, because money is a topic that I love to speak to my women about, and it's the thing that triggers them the most. So I'm wondering if we can go down this route and just talk a little bit about money, money mindset, and what the biggest struggles you see are and the ways to kind of move past that to become positively wealthy.
Course. And money wasn't, again, not the focus that I wanted of my work. Like, I thought I hung up my coupon queen crown for good. I was like, that's done. Like, it's always a part of me. But yeah, I've moved past it. And then what I found was that at the beginning of 2019, when I started writing my second book, after my first one had released, we had like a little launch party, and the psychic we'd hired just for a bit of entertainment said to me, oh, Emma, you know, your next book's going to be on money. And I was like, yeah, whatever. No, it is not. Like, you know, you're obviously not reading me. No, I was like, I'm done. And she was like, no, you need to realize that your experiences have led you to this book. This is why money keeps following you. Like, it's just as relevant now in a practical and grounded way, instead of, you know, and spiritual way as well. So I ignored that advice and was like, yeah, that's definitely not going to be book two. Turns out a couple months later, started dropping, and I was like, okay, here we go. We're going into like, what does your version of wealth mean, et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, now we're here with a full blown book and a journal on money as well, which is awesome. So I'm grateful for that psychic for planting those seeds, because it is one of my proudest achievements, and it just relates to so many people, like you say. And because I've had the banking experience, the money saving experience, and then the spiritual money side of things as well, it relates to people on a different level. Because obviously there are money mindset books out there, which are fantastic, but they're all very law of attraction focused. And of course, mine's law of attraction focused because that's my main body of work. But it comes at you from a grounded and practical way, which is easier for our kind of human minds to process and also use in practical form as well. So it's not just about thinking positively. Of course, that helps, of course. Mm-hmm. Actually using physical tools and cognitive practices as well to help, you know, rewire the patterning that we have, those beliefs that we have. So one of the most common things I see, and one of the reasons why I wrote the book in the first place, was a lot of spiritual business owners or anybody in the kind of wellness sphere, if they have their own business, a lot of people, you know, we hear the classic term of you don't know your worth. And for me, it's a very different conversation to that. I'm definitely not one of those coaches who are like, know your worth and all of this. Like, for me, worth is a very different meaning, which I explain in the book. But yes, so a lot of spiritual business owners may not want to charge or feel comfortable charging for their services or what they're offering, or maybe they want to take that leap, but the financial risk is too risky and they're like, oh, you know, it's better to just stay in my 9-to-5 job and do this. It's, you know, it's safer. So those are the most common things I see. And then even on an even broader scale, to obviously include people who are employed and who have, you know, 9-to-5 jobs as such, is they will pick up those limiting beliefs from their parents. And this is why I'm passionate about inner child work as well, because we are sponges as children. So we're literally absorbing everything that our parents teach us. So, you know, just as a kind of exercise for you to do now, if you think about, like, if you were to explain to me your relationship with money, what would it be? How would you describe it to me? And then once you've thought about that, then think, okay, what is my parents' relationship with money like? How were they with money? How was my relationship with money as a child? How was money taught to me and shown to me? And that's a really great place to start, because then you can start to unravel and say, right, how have I got myself in this space? How do I have a positive relationship with money? Do I have a negative relationship with money? Awareness is key, right? So we have to witness where we're at and then work through that space. So I can ramble on more, Sarah, but do you want to ask anything else?
God, I love this so much. I love what you said about the worthiness piece, the worth piece being separate from money, because this is something that really pisses me off when people say charge your worth.
Oh, God,
because yeah. It's like, how can you possibly charge your worth? Your worth is like infinite. Like, you are inherently worthy as a divine being. And I always think that reframing it to charge what the work, what the transformation is worth, what the work is worth, like, that's so much healthier. Mm. But I think that, yeah, what really spoke to me about what you were saying is this, the inner child stuff and the fact that we are sponges. What are the most common beliefs, limiting beliefs that you see that people have around money?
I think the most common one is that it's not going to come back. If I had to put top one, it's so hard because I see quite a few, but the top one I would say is people living in a lack mindset of, oh yeah, but I'm not going to spend this. Like, oh yeah, I've manifested the money, Emma, but yeah, I'm not going to spend it because, you know, this. And another one is actually even knowing they've manifested money. So this is why, and a good tip for your listeners as well, I always suggest to do an abundance log, because it gives you really practical steps to track your money manifestation. So do it over a month period, do like week one, week two, week three, week four. And again, a lot of people don't realize where money can come from. They might say, or money manifestation specifically, they might be like, well, yeah, it can come from my career, it can come from a paycheck, bonus, refund, gift, but there are actually other ways that money can come to you, even more easier, and we just don't notice it. So say, for instance, someone sets a goal of even like £10,000, for example, And then they're like, oh, well, I haven't manifested. When you actually sit down and work it out with them, they have. It just hasn't come in like a 10,000 lump sum as such. And also it's looking at the energy behind that. So if, you know, if you were to say, right, I want to manifest £10,000, how does that feel to you? Does that feel good? Does that feel peaceful and, you know, aligned? Or does it feel a bit like, oh, that's a lot? Because if you're feeling like, oh, yeah, that's quite a lot to manifest, look at that energy. That is the energy you're putting out to the universe. So I always say, break it down. If you need to manifest like £6,000, for example, for a holiday, you know, work it out. How much door to door from leaving the house to getting home from the holiday do you need? Don't just cover flights and hotel, cover expenses. Look at all of these different costs that you need to cover that holiday. Because this is getting clear, which is one of the, you know, the key steps with the law of attraction, is to have clarity over your manifestation, not just an amount. What are you going to spend that money on? So if you want to manifest £10,000, how are you going to spend that money? What's it going to go towards? Is it renovations? Is it education? What is it? Like, really get clear on where that money is going. And then once you have your figure for the holiday and it's like £6,000, say, for example, and you have 6 months to manifest it, then you manifest £1,000 a month. That's all you need. And if any extra comes, amazing, celebrate that. But break it down, because even with just doing that, you know, if we were to say like, oh, £1,000, you think, oh God, yeah, that's really manageable. Yeah, that feels good. All we've done is just break it down. Nothing scientific, nothing magical. We've just broken it down. So really do that with your long-term bigger financial goals for sure. And also, you know, another thing people say to me a lot of the time is, Emma, like, everybody's wanting to manifest £1 million or be millionaires, and I just don't want that. And I'm like, that's okay too. You don't have to want what everybody else wants, because that's not in alignment with you. So start off with what feels good to you, because at the end of the day, that's all that matters in this. What is really going to get that law of attraction energy kickstarted and manifesting is that it feels good to you. So moving back to the abundance log, you know, keep a track of it over a month period. And then in terms of how that money can come to you, just set a goal, because sometimes people don't set regular money goals and then wonder why money's not showing up. So set a goal right here, right now, whether it's a new moon or whether it's the beginning of the month, set a goal and say, right, by the end of this month, within the next 30 days, I'm going to manifest X amount of money. And make it, you know, allow it to feel good as well. Don't just say like a really high figure and then you think, oh, you know, go with the first figure that comes into your head that feels good to you. And then what you can do from that point is then expand your awareness of how that money's going to come to you. So be relaxed with it. Allow the universe to surprise you. Allow the universe to be creative with it. But in terms of how it can come to you, all those examples I gave earlier are definitely money manifestations. But keeping it old school with the coupons, discounts, savings, freebies, all of these are money manifestations. You get a free coffee, that's a money manifestation. It's money staying in your bank account. You save half price on your favorite moisturizer in the supermarket, that's half that money staying in your bank account. So really get good with this, like get thrifty with it as well. Have a look and note down your savings, your discounts, your freebies, refunds, bonuses, gifts, anybody who gifts you money, if you find money, all of these are ways that the universe can bring that money to you. So do it over a month period and you will be shocked. And everybody I set this task for absolutely loves it. And they always hit their money goals, because sometimes, yes, the money can come in one lump sum, of course, but equally as well, it can come in many ways.
Oh, I love that. And I can definitely tell that you're like the couponing queen, because this is amazing, the amount of detail. And I think what this all kind of, as you're speaking, I can feel what this all kind of boils down to is this feeling of, you know, whatever we desire, we are not only worthy of it, but we're also taken care of. And it's really bringing ourselves out of that scarcity mindset, that scarcity energy, into trust. Mm. And just trusting that we will be completely taken care of.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, the universe has our back, as Gabby would say. We have to trust that. And it's knowing that, because I think, you know, and I can definitely relate to myself, and we've had conversations about this before, Sarah, of like, I'm naturally more in my masculine energy. So to mm-hmm. me, you know, like manifesting is a very masculine based energy. So it's like, yes, I can achieve, manifest, whoop, whoop. Like I'm in my element when I'm doing that. Whereas when I learned to balance my feminine energy and really work with that last year. So Positively Wealthy is all full of that feminine flow because that was my journey last year. I learned to manifest from a whole different space because I was flowing, not forcing. So it's again, looking at that energy of, are you being resistant? Are you forcing? Are you kind of controlling a little bit? Like, I'll hold my hands up. I'm one of those people sometimes, you know, it's not human nature to do that. Mm-hmm. Or are you manifesting from that feminine flow of, I'm flowing with the universe because I know that I'm abundant. I know this is going to come back to me. And I can trust with that. So it's allowing that flow as well in.
Yes, I love that. And you know, being in your feminine when you're manifesting is really about allowing yourself to receive and understanding that there are these kind of natural forces at play. It's how the universe works, and we don't have to be in charge of the how. And when I learned that, everything shifted for me. When I was like, oh, I just have to be, my job, all of our jobs is simply to get really crystal clear on the what and really dig deep as well and understand, like, is this really my true desire? Is this really in alignment with me? Or is this just what I think I should be doing? And that takes time to really understand, because we're bombarded with all these messages all the time about what we should be doing. Should we be doing this? Should we be doing that? And then once we are crystal clear and we're in alignment with, you know, what we're here for, and for most of us, it's not to be millionaires, because not everyone wants that. Then it's about giving up control of how it comes to fruition. And that's really challenging though, isn't it? Because it's like, we've been conditioned to be like, go out and do and get, and if you don't work hard, then, you know, you're fucked. But if this year has taught me anything, it's that actually, the more that we're in alignment with who we really are, the more that we embody the feminine, the more that we can actually receive.
Yes, 100%. And like my mantra of 2020 is Emma does less, Emma attracts more, because it started off as a joke between me and my good friend George. And then we kind of challenged ourselves to do this because we're both workaholics. We're both in that masculine nature more, workaholics, love what we do. But then we were like, right, we need to really like manifest some stuff in our personal life. We really need to like balance that out. So for me, it was about like taking that step back and saying, look, you've done loads, Emma. You don't have to keep pushing and pushing. And I realized that, you know, even going back to that inner child work, you know, I've had to work hard for a lot of things in my life and my place as such, at a table, any table. And I thought, well, that's where this mindset's come from of, you enjoy your work, you love hustling, you love being a girl boss, you love doing all of this, that's enjoyment and that's fun to a degree, but you don't have to keep pushing to receive. You know, you just gotta have that 50-50 co-creation. So as I started to pull my energy back a little bit and just again flow, receive, and allow myself to receive and trust that, you know, money wasn't going to be knocked, that the demand would still be there, but I could just take little steps back in order to create the space in my personal life for that to flourish and for that to, you know, for my desires in my personal life as well, because I've just been work orientated all these years. And, you know, especially the last 2 years after going through a really, really deep twin flame journey, you know, I've just been work orientated. So for me, it was like taking that step back and then another step back and then saying, right, okay, the universe is meeting me. And it's always about that 50-50 point about meeting the universe halfway and the universe can meet you halfway. So I was going like 80% of the way. That's classically what I do. But when I was actually going to my 50%, then I created the space in my personal life for my personal life to manifest and feel good. And then also a space where I'm fully supported by the universe. And obviously I still show up. I still put my energy into my work. Of course I do that. You still need to do that. You need to take your inspired action. But actually by creating that space and co-creating with the universe, it's built that trust, which I don't think I ever had before.
I love that. And it sounds to me that throughout that journey, you've been cultivating different types of abundance as well, because obviously there's like work abundance and financial abundance and like recognition, but then there's also the personal life aspects and more love, more connection, more space. And I think that, I mean, I know exactly what it's like to be a workaholic, and this year has been completely different for me. Like, I work less than I ever have done before, and I never thought that I'd be able to do that and still be able to experience exponential growth. I particularly love your mantra, Emma does less, Emma creates more. I like this, so I'm gonna take this on. Obviously,
literally everybody should use it. It's a great one.
It's fantastic. So I guess what I'm curious about is, if there's one, obviously you've already given so many practices and there have been so many nuggets of wisdom in what you've shared, so thank you so much for that. But if there was one piece of advice that you related to being positively wealthy that you wish you'd had when you were younger, what is it? What would it be?
Oh God, that's such a good question. Because there's so much I wish I knew back then. But I think, yeah, knowing what your version of wealth is. And I think this is something I would have benefited from absolutely at 18 years old, but also even 2 years ago. This is how, that was how the journey unfolded for me, was identifying that I'd manifested all these amazing things into my life and everything off my vision board, which was incredible. But then I was like, huh, you still got that void within you. There's still that part of you that's not fulfilled. And it was like almost like a light bulb moment of, you've manifested everything you've ever wanted and you're still unfulfilled. And obviously I felt like the most ungrateful person in the world. And I was like, I am so grateful for everything I have. But I was like, why? What is that? Why do I not feel fulfilled? And I realized it was because I was chasing the wrong version of wealth. And it was great what you said earlier, Sarah, about, you know, abundance being in multiple forms of financial, of course, but also personal life abundance as well. So I'd been, you know, chasing what society would deem as validation, success, all of that. You know, I manifested book deals, I manifested money, I manifested TV slots, etc., promotion, all of it. And it was incredible. But then I realized that actually my version of wealth was very different, and that my version of wealth was having a rich personal life of, you know, being a mother, being a wife one day and having that person there and not just being an island, you know, co-creating with somebody else. Sorry. So yeah, it was about co-creating with somebody else and having that partnership. So because I was throwing myself into work and distracting myself and focusing on that because it was really good and positive and abundant, I thought, well, I just need to focus all my attention on there. I just need to keep positive and everything else will work itself out. But actually, when I looked at the garden of my life as such, you know, one half of it was thriving, one half of it was abundant and amazing, but the other half was like dying and withering and like wasn't great at all. So my one piece of advice is like, get real with yourself. What is your version of wealth? And to create that positively wealthy life, you have to be giving energy to both all areas of your life. So see your life as a garden. What areas are thriving? What areas need your attention? And always, you know, the one area that is not thriving is where you need to put your energy, where you have to do that inner work to create that positively wealthy lifestyle.
I love that. And actually, I think that's one of the things that we did in one of our first sessions together. And you explained that life is like a garden. I love that metaphor. And now, ironically, I'm actually getting into gardening. So
I love it.
So I love it. Oh, Emma, it's been amazing to talk to you. And I love your story. And I love how pragmatic and practical you are. So just thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us. And where can we find you?
Course. Well, you can find me at my website, emmamumford.co.uk. I'm on social media. Like I said, I've got a YouTube channel, and I'm on all the kind of major platforms, which is at I am Emma Mumford. So please come on over and say hi, because I always like to interact with you all. But yeah, thank you so much, Sarah, for having me. It's been so much fun today.
You're so welcome. Speak to you soon. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Rise Priestess podcast. If this episode spoke to you, you can contribute greatly by sharing it to your Instagram stories. Make sure that you also tag me at Dr. Sarah Coxon so that I can personally reach out and thank you. And if you're not already a member of my Instagram community, you can pop over there now and join us. I keep it very real over there, sharing behind the scenes of my life and business to inspire you to live life and do business your own way. You can also apply to be a guest on the show by emailing sarah@drsarahcoxon with the subject podcast guest. You can also head over to my website, the link is in the show notes, to find out more about how I can help you step into your unique priestesshood to unlock deep contribution and potent prosperity. See you next time.